Amen. Well, Merry Christmas. It's nice to have you all here with us this evening. It's great to get to spend Christmas as a family. And this is a family. This is my family in Ohio, my family away from Tennessee. So it is good to be back. I want to share with you tonight my favorite passage about Christmas. My favorite Christmas passage is found in the book of Galatians. If you want to flip there with me, Galatians chapter number 4. And we're going to read out here. Christmas means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. It means a lot of different things as you're growing up through life. I can remember Christmas time meaning to me waking up first thing Christmas morning and being so excited as kids, running into the family room, can't wait to see what's under the Christmas tree, just to dive into those presents and just see what's going to happen. Then later on, we get to tear it up at the dinner table and just eat all the goods, the goodies and the trimmings. And we just had Christmas at the Bickle Hops, and I love Christmas with the Bickle Hops. It's a pot of shredded chicken and three tables full of desserts. They know how to do it right. Cookies and cakes and pies and creams and dips and oh, so great. You eat yourself silly. But Christmas means a lot of different things. We think of Grinches at Christmas time. We think of Scrooges at Christmas time. We think of jolly old fat men in red suits running around at Christmas time. Right? A lot of different people think of a lot of different things. And we can use this time of the season. The devil can start to use that sometimes to distract us and distract us from what matters and the focus of what this season really is supposed to be about, and really what we say Christmas is, Christmas. And we come to Galatians chapter number 4, and we're reminded in this passage what Christmas really is all about. If you could pick one passage to read during Christmas time with your family, I would turn here, Galatians chapter number 4. We're going to start in verse number 1. We're going to read down through a little ways. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Let's pray, and we'll jump right in. I'll be very brief this evening. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this time You've given us, Lord, just a time to come together to commemorate the birth of Your Son. Father, we do know that Jesus Christ probably was not born this day during this time, Father, but we do commemorate it at this time, Father. We do remember a time and a season, Lord, where You became flesh, Lord, where You became incarnate. Father, where You dwelt among us and lived a sinless life, Lord, and that Your Son was sent here as a propitiation, Lord, a payment, a satisfactory payment for our sin. And Father, we are ever so thankful for that and ever so grateful for the grace and mercy that's bestowed upon us this season. Help us not to lose sight of these things, Father. Help us to live life today and moving forward, Father, with the spirit of graciousness in our hearts for Your Son and what Your Son has done for us. We ask that You'd open our hearts now, illumine our eyes, and with this passage, with this message, in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. As we look at the Christmas and the holiday season, we do think of a lot of different things, packages and bows and tinsel and snowflakes and Frosty the Snowman and all these silliness and silly things that come in. We can sometimes forget that God sent His Son to the world during this time. And the Bible says it here in Galatians chapter number 4, verse number 4, it says, When the fullness of the time was come. That's one of my favorite verses, one of my favorite portions of any verse in the Bible. The fullness of the time. What is God trying to say when He says the fullness of the time? What He's trying to say is God sending forth His Son into the world was no accident. It was no this is going to happen now, and it wasn't flippant, and God didn't just happen to do it. It was planned from the beginning of creation, from the beginning of time. If you look in the book of Romans, chapter number 8, when you read Galatians, always read Romans with Galatians. Galatians is like the handbook to Romans. Romans is my favorite book ever in the history of mankind written by anybody. But if we look over to Romans, which again is like Galatians part 2, if you will. But Romans chapter number 8, verse number 22, Paul writes it this way. He says, For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And he's writing the church of Rome, and what he's saying is the church of Rome, what he's telling them at this time is, look, everything has happened in this moment of history to bring us to this moment in time. Creation has grown together. Creation has travailed together. These birth pains, this idea of being in birth, this woman travailing, and then this moment of glory, right? When the baby is born, the child is actually born, this fruit has come forth. And that's what Paul is saying. The Savior has come to the world as a fulfillment of everything this world was created for. The fulfillment of this creation, the fulfillment of our life, the purpose of why we are here, what did God put us here, is found in the gift of His Son. And everything has happened up through this moment, up through this time, to be here at this moment that God's Son came into the earth. And every bit of history hinges around this one important moment, the fullness of the time. When the fullness of the time was come. I want you to stop and think about it. What have you done with the time that Christ came into this world? What has it meant to you personally? What has it been to you as a Christian if you are saved? What has it been to you as a human being if you're not saved? What has it meant to you up through this time? God has brought you to this point, to this place, to this time in human history to face the idea of who is God's Son? Who did God send into this world? And why did God send His Son into this world? The fullness of the time was come. Who did God send? God sent forth His Son. Look at what it says. Made of a woman, made under the law. What does that mean? That means God Himself came to this earth, came to this planet, came to this place, if you will, as a human being, as a man. He never ceased being God. He put on the robe of human flesh. Right? That's what the word incarnate means. He became God incarnate. God in the flesh. And just like I would wake up in the morning and I would take my suit coat on and I would put my suit coat over top of my body and clothe me with my suit coat, God clothed Himself with humanity. He became 100% man, 100% God, and He lived a perfect and sinless life on this earth. That's what Christmas is all about. God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. Look at what it says next. Made under the law. God sent Himself, Jesus Christ, God incarnate in human flesh, God the Son, co-equal, co-existent with God the Father, co-equal, co-existent with God the Spirit, came into the world as a man. Why? He was made under the law. The Bible says He became a curse for us, right? He became sin for us who knew no sin. And God sent Him into this world, made under the law, that He would take our sin upon us. Why would God do such a thing? Number one, God sent His Son to redeem us. Look at what it says right there. That He might redeem them that were under the law. He might redeem them. That word redeem means to buy back. We were sold in sin. Right? Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that all have sinned. Right? For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. We were sold into sin. There was no hope for us, right? Our life, our soul, our being, our person was condemned eternally to a place called hell by our sins. Just from the virtue of being born. Just from the virtue of being born. You were born a sinner. But God sent His Son. God sent His Son that He would buy us back from that sin. To redeem them, right? To redeem them that were under the law. Hey, you and I, we were under the law. But God sent His Son to give us hope, to give us a place, to give us peace with God, to buy us back from where we were, that we might be with Him, that we might be His again. Amen and amen. God bought us back to redeem them, to redeem them, to redeem them that were under the law. Look what it says next, though. Not only to redeem, not only to buy back, not only to bring us out of our sins, but then He says that we might receive the adoption of sons. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. He sent His Son to earth to redeem us, to buy us back, but He's also wanting to reclaim us as His Son. Imagine that. Now, it's one thing to buy something back and just kind of set it in a corner, never to do anything with it again, right? Just to buy something back and set it on the shelf. God doesn't do that. He buys us back. He redeems us. Then He reclaims us as His Son. That we became a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, don't miss this. As a joint heir, that means what Jesus has, guess what? We have access to as a joint heir. That means Jesus Christ has eternal life as God the Son. That means we have eternal life. It's a present, current possession. It's something we own as a child of God, as God has reclaimed us back. Don't miss that. Live in the victory. Understand that this Christmas season, God wants to redeem you. God also wants to reclaim you. But lastly, look at what it says here. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts crying, Abba, Father. Oh, that's a great verse. Daddy, God. If I had more time, I'd get into it. But I want you to get to verse number 7. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Hey, God's going to redeem us. God wants to reclaim us. God wants to reward us. Look at what it says. An heir. You know what that means? It means what's God's is ours. Do you catch that? What's God's is ours. The peace of God. The presence of God. The life of God. The victory God has, He wants to bestow it upon us. He came to redeem. He came to reclaim. He came to reward. Look at Isaiah chapter number 9 with me. Isaiah chapter number 9. In the book of Isaiah, great prophecy written by the man Isaiah, prophesied extensively of the Messiah that would come. Isaiah chapter number 9, look at verse number 6. It says this, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. Look at these names. Wonderful. Counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Imagine that. Look at all those titles. That God has given, that the Lord Jesus Christ has given in that wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And you know what? Paul adds one more to it, and he calls Him Abba, Father. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And guess what we get to call Him? We get to call Him Daddy. When we come to Him through that relationship with Jesus Christ, and we allow Him to redeem us, we allow Him to reclaim us, and He rewards us as an heir, we can come to Him now and say, Daddy, Abba, Father, Daddy. We have that closeness, that intimacy with the Mighty God, with the Wonderful One, with the Counselor, with the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He now becomes our Daddy. And He bestows upon us all those things that He has for us. A home in heaven. Yeah, we have a home in heaven, but we also have the presence of the Almighty God in our life today, leading us, guiding us, instructing us, helping us, giving us peace, letting us know that He's there for us and that we have a purpose and that we can live in the victory and we can have the victory over sin. He came to redeem us. Look at Isaiah chapter number 53. And not only did He do these things, I want you to notice this one passage in chapter number 53. I want you to read verse number 5, and then we're going to jump down to verse number 10. Verse number 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And then look at verse number 10. This is an amazing statement the Bible makes in verse number 10. It says, yet, what's it say? It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. We're talking about the Creator of the universe, the Son of God, the only begotten, according to John chapter number 3, verse number 16. He came to the earth, born in that manger, a humble birth, declared to the shepherds by the angels, visited by the wise men. He lived a sinless life. He taught in their synagogues. He healed their blind. He made the lame to walk again. He caused the blind to see, the dumb to speak. He did great and marvelous and wonderful things. Was a great teacher, a great preacher, a great speaker. Showed them things they'd never heard before. Preached things they'd never seen before. And hey, He was a great man of God, a great rabbi, the perfect man. Never did anything wrong. Never sinned. And what did they do? They nailed Him to the cross. They beat the crown of thorns on His head. They watched Him bleed. They hung Him up and watched Him die, the whole time mocking Him, spitting on Him, beating Him, railing Him. They tossed the spear into His side. The blood and the water flowed down. He cried out, "It is finished!" He gave up the ghost. Gave up the ghost. They buried Him in a borrowed tomb. A brand new tomb. A borrowed tomb. That was the ultimate insult to a Jewish man at the time. Right? It was like pouring salt in an open wound to bury Him in a brand new tomb, a tomb that belonged to nobody. It's saying, you're a vagrant, you're a nobody, you don't belong to us, we don't want to have anything to do with you, we're done with you. They seal it with the rock, they put it there, and forget about Him. He's done. Jesus of Nazareth will never be heard of again, but God rose Him again 3 days.
3 days in the grave. He rose again victorious over the grave, victorious over sin, victorious over death. Why? Because it pleased God. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him that He might buy us back. And let me ask you today, I'm going to close with this. I just want to ask you this one thought. This Christmas season, what has Jesus Christ meant to you? What has Jesus Christ meant to you? Have you come to know Him personally as your Savior? Have you accepted Him? Have you come into that personal relationship? Have you allowed Him to reclaim you? Can you call yourself now the child of God? Can you call and cry out, Abba, Father? Have you come into that relationship? If not, tonight's the night. This Christmas season, make it your Christmas season, your first real Christmas season. Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Christian, what are you doing with what God has done for you? Are you living as a son of God? Are you living as a daughter of God? Are you living as heir to the King of Kings? Are you living as heir to the Prince of Peace? Or are you just drudging through life, regretting yesterday, fearing tomorrow? Hey, live in the victory that Christ has given you this holiday season. This Christmas season, claim it for you. Make it your first Christmas season and make it personal. And live every day as Christmas Day. Let's pray. Lord and Heavenly Father, we are thankful, Lord, for this season. Lord, thankful for the gift of Your Son. Help us now, Lord, as we leave this place, just to live in the spirit of Christmas all year long. Father, help us to understand the gift of Your Son, to claim Him in our life now, Lord, and live in the victory. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
With every head bowed and every eye closed, for just a moment, please, as the piano plays through a verse of invitation. If the Lord has spoken to you and you'd like to come and pray, certainly the altar is open. The greatest time of the year to receive Jesus Christ is today. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We are really not guaranteed of tomorrow. So if you've never trusted Christ, we invite you to do so today. There's a burden on your heart or just something to pray about to be thankful, we invite you to come tonight. Would you come if the Lord has spoken to you?